Have you ever noticed how the most influential people in your life aren't those who tell you what to think, but those who ask questions that change how you think? Trey Gowdy discovered this truth through 16 years as a federal prosecutor and 8 years in Congress. The courtroom became his laboratory for human persuasion, where he learned that questions, not declarations, hold the true power to change minds. While most of us believe persuasion comes from having all the answers, Gowdy reveals a counterintuitive truth. Asking the right questions is infinitely more powerful than making the most forceful statements. This insight transformed an insecure young lawyer into one of the most effective communicators in American politics, and it can transform how you connect with others in every area of life. Growing up, Gowdy felt intellectually inadequate compared to his doctor father and educated friends. During drives with Judge Randy Bell, who discussed sophisticated topics, Gowdy could only offer NASCAR when asked about his interests. This inadequacy led him to develop questioning as a strategic defense mechanism. By asking questions instead of making statements, he masked knowledge gaps while learning from others. This approach leverages human nature. Most people prefer talking to listening, creating situations where others feel heard while he avoided revealing deficiencies. What began as a coping strategy evolved into insight. Questions are safer and more effective than declarations. When you make false statements, you lose credibility, while asking honest questions builds trust. Successful communicators aren't born, but made through practice. When hiring young litigators, Gowdy challenged them to convince him to see their favorite movie. Many struggled despite their law degrees, but improved with practice. You're becoming an effective communicator when you no longer dread public speaking, but anticipate it. When contrary positions represent opportunities rather than threats, and when you can achieve your objective without explicitly asking for it. True persuasion differs dramatically from winning arguments. In a courtroom, persuasion requires convincing all 12 jurors beyond reasonable doubt. A 99% success rate still means failure. Unlike political landslides where 65% agreement suffices, courtroom persuasion demands unanimity. Gowdy learned that persuasion isn't coercion, but guiding people with questions toward your conclusion. Teaching without either of you identifying who is the teacher and who is the student. While debating is science, persuasion is art. The best debaters aren't necessarily the most persuasive people. In Congress, Gowdy found members like McCarthy and Stefanik persuasive through honesty, humility, and active listening rather than rhetorical skill. In courtrooms, he feared attorneys who authentically connected with juries more than brilliant intellectuals. Arguments inflame. Persuasion transforms. Even closing arguments aren't argumentative, but about movement through storytelling. Jurors want to be reasoned with by someone trustworthy, not lectured. The most powerful persuasion happens at the margins, where subtle arguments lead people to their own conclusions. Gowdy rarely asked voters explicitly to vote for him or juries to convict defendants in opening statements. Both risked credibility. Being open to being persuaded isn't weakness, but a gift of open-mindedness. We must practice what we preach by being persuadable ourselves while maintaining an honest inner dialogue. The Dana Satterfield murder case demonstrates how preparation drives persuasion. When this young mother and salon owner was found murdered in 1995, her case remained unsolved for a decade until DNA evidence implicated Jonathan Vick. As prosecutor, Gowdy obsessively mastered every detail, examining DNA evidence, anticipating defense arguments about marital problems, explaining missing fingerprints, and resolving the mystery of unmatched hairs. Despite the lead detective's note that Jonathan Vick did not commit this crime, thorough preparation secured a guilty verdict in under 30 minutes. Facts form the foundation of winning arguments. A fact has objective reality, though not all facts can be proven. Effective persuasion requires separating facts from beliefs, opinions, theories, and feelings. Commanding facts demands homework, investigating before adopting a position. Our generation's unprecedented access to information leaves no excuse for inadequate research. Before attempting to persuade, clarify your purpose through self-inquiry. Are you trying to convert someone completely or offer a new perspective? Which points can you concede? Without a clear purpose, persuasion becomes unproductive. Everyone faces a jury in daily life. Family members, business partners, customers, friends, anyone you're trying to persuade. Though not in a courtroom, you can learn from jury selection, where potential jurors are questioned about biases and ability to set aside preconceptions. Death penalty jury selection exemplifies this, as attorneys seek open-minded citizens who will listen to facts before deciding, the same quality needed for any persuasive conversation. Empathy creates powerful connections. As prosecutor handling Miranda All's murder case, Gowdy met her father Eddie, who doubted a white man would assign value to a death of an African-American young woman. Gowdy assigned himself to the case, recognizing two juries existed, the 12 official jurors and Miranda's parents watching to see if the justice system valued their daughter's life. Years later, he attended Knight's appeal hearing not because he was needed, but to show Eddie he still valued his daughter's life, as a fellow father rather than a prosecutor. Questions in persuasion either corroborate or contradict. Softball questions let respondents advance their position, building credibility and likability. Hardball questions force defensiveness, depleting these same accounts. Through content, tone, and texture of questions, we quickly identify friends or foes in conversations. Non-leading questions, who, what, when, where, how, seek information without suggesting answers, keeping focus on the response. Leading questions embed their own answers, shifting attention to the questioner and often becoming confrontational. The question why occupies a paradoxical position. It can transform legal outcomes and reveal necessary lies, yet can derail conversations as people naturally elaborate when explaining themselves. When losing an argument, defense works better than continued offense. Questions can effectively disrupt someone's rhetorical momentum without appearing obstructionist. While obvious interruptions seem disruptive, subtle questioning forces speakers to evaluate the legitimacy of the interruption, breaking their cadence. Deconstruction challenges fundamental assumptions before they're established. Suspend the normal benefit of the doubt by demanding evidence with questions like, "How do you know that?" This prevents opponents from building momentum. Playing the victim card can be effective when conversations deteriorate. When someone misrepresents your position, don't rush past it. Temporarily embrace victim status, questioning how they got their facts wrong. You can't be both victim and attacker simultaneously. Play the victim card first until it loses effectiveness. The tools of persuasion are now yours. How to use questions offensively and defensively, the power of logic and fact, how to identify your jury. There are no born communicators, just those who refuse to remain ineffective. All you need is the obligation to use these skills and ask, why not me? Go communicate what you believe persuasively, helping our experiment in self-governance continue to refine itself.